This letter is meant to call the attention of federal authorities in Australia, Canada, Germany, the United Kingdom, and the United States to multiple points of evidence about the origin and historical precedent of lockdowns, the scientific literature and debate behind them, the provenance and quality of predominant COVID-19 testing protocols and models, the motivations, biases, and qualifications of certain prominent lockdown supporters, and the source of public-facing communications surrounding these policies.
Well, the dramatic escalation in restrictions introduced here in the UK was prompted partly by research from a team at Imperial College London, who described this as the worst respiratory virus since the Spanish flu pandemic in 1918-1919. They warned Britain was on course for a catastrophic epidemic and that the number of deaths in the UK could reach 250,000, unless there was a new approach.
While the policies varied by jurisdiction, in general, they involved restrictions on gatherings and movements and the closure of schools, businesses, and public places, inspired by those imposed by the Chinese Communist Party in Hubei province. The intervention of federal authorities with police power may be required to ensure that those who have promoted these lockdown policies have done so in good faith.
Some have said that the media is overreacting. Are we?
Not overreacting at all. And the media has been a really important ally in this fight because we need to get the word out and we need to let people understand the magnitude of the threat we face.
You said just a week ago that you were very afraid. Canadians should be afraid. Should we still be afraid?
We should all be afraid.
Please all rise.
Lockdowns originated on the order of Xi Jinping, General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, and were propagated into global policy by the World Health Organization with little analysis or logic.
下面.
Lockdown proponents have frequently justified their policies by comparing them to actions taken to combat the pandemic of Spanish influenza a century prior. But a realistic examination of the mitigation efforts in response to Spanish influenza reveals that nothing remotely approximating lockdowns was ever imposed. In the words of Judge William S. Stickman, ruling in County of Butler versus Wolfe, citing the work of preeminent historians, although this nation has faced many epidemics and pandemics, and state and local governments have employed a variety of interventions in response, there have never previously been lockdowns of entire populations, much less for lengthy and indefinite periods of time. While unquestionably states and local governments restricted certain activities for a limited period of time to mitigate the Spanish flu, there is no record of any imposition of a population lockdown in response to that disease or any other in our history. Not only are lockdowns historically unprecedented in response to any previous epidemic or pandemic in American history, but they are not so much as mentioned in recent guidance offered by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Judge Stickman continues, "Indeed, even for a very high severity pandemic, defined as one comparable to the Spanish flu, the guidelines provide only that the CDC recommends voluntary home isolation of ill persons, and CDC might recommend voluntary home quarantine of exposed household members in areas where novel influenza circulates. This is a far, far cry from a statewide lockdown."
Development of traditional Chinese medicine.
The fact is that the lockdowns imposed across the United States in early 2020 in response to the COVID-19 pandemic are unprecedented in the history of our Commonwealth and our country. They have never been used in response to any other disease in our history. They were not recommendations made by the CDC. They were unheard of by the people of this nation until just this year. It appears as though the imposition of lockdowns in Wuhan and other areas of China, a nation unconstrained by concern for civil liberties and constitutional norms, started a domino effect where one country and state after another imposed draconian and hitherto untried measures on their citizens. Judge Stickman's intuition regarding the true history of lockdowns is in line with the opinion of the foremost infectious disease scholars. Donald Henderson, the man widely credited with eradicating smallpox, wrote in 2006, "Experience has shown that communities faced with epidemics or other adverse events respond best and with the least anxiety when the normal social functioning of the community is least disrupted. To our knowledge, no scientist ever publicly supported imposing lockdowns until Xi Jinping, General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, personally authorized the unprecedented lockdown of Wuhan and other cities beginning on January 23rd. General Secretary Xi is perhaps best known for the punishment of over 1 million CCP officials for corruption, the elimination of term limits from China's constitution, and of course, the re-education and quarantine of over 1 million Uyghur Muslims and other minorities infected with extremism throughout the regions of Xinjiang and Tibet, pursuant to the CCP's pet hybrid of public health and security policy, Fang Kong, the same policy that inspired Xi's lockdown of Hubei province. General Secretary Xi later affirmed that he had issued these instructions to the CCP's Politburo Standing Committee on January 7, 2020, but his instructions have never been revealed. Chinese business leader Ren Jingxiang was sentenced to 18 years in prison for an open letter in which he requested Xi's instructions to be made public. When the lockdown of Hubei province began, the World Health Organization's representative in China noted that
trying to contain a city of 11 million people is new to science. It has not been tried before as a public health measure. So we cannot at this stage say it will or it will not work.
Human rights observers also expressed concerns, but those concerns didn't stop the WHO from effusively praising the CCP's unprecedented response just days after the lockdown began and long before it had produced any results.
And that's what happens when you have an aggressive action that changes the shape that you would expect from an infectious disease outbreak. This is extremely important for China, but it's extremely important for the rest of the world. And you hear it repeatedly in the news, people throwing up their hands, whereas China said, okay, we don't have those, let's get out the old ones, let's adapt them, let's innovate, and let's stop this virus and save lives. And that's what they've done.
I will praise China again and again because its actions actually helped in reducing the spread of coronavirus to other countries. The commitment of the political leadership, starting from the number one, from the president himself. And I said it in my speech, the level of his knowledge is very, very amazing. China is doing its best, and that helps.
And the next day praised China for setting a new standard for outbreak response. By February 2020, the CCP had begun reporting an exponential decline in COVID-19 cases. In its February report, WHO waxed rhapsodic about China's triumph. General Secretary Xi Jinping personally directed and deployed the prevention and control work. China's uncompromising and rigorous use of non-pharmaceutical measures to contain transmission of the COVID-19 virus in multiple settings provides vital lessons for the global response. Shortly thereafter, the WHO held a press conference during which Assistant Director General Bruce Aylward, who later disconnected a live interview when asked to acknowledge Taiwan,
hello?
I couldn't hear your question.
Okay, yeah. Let me repeat the question.
No, that's okay. Let's move to another one then.
Right, because I'm actually curious on talking about Taiwan as well, on Taiwan's case.
What China has demonstrated is you have to do this. And if you do it, you can save lives and prevent thousands of cases of what is a very difficult disease. China has taken one of the most ancient strategies for infectious disease control and rolled out probably the most ambitious and I would say agile and aggressive disease containment effort in history. And it moved from this sort of one-size-fits-all approach to a science and risk-based approach. What they've done has only been possible because of a tremendous collective commitment and will of the Chinese people, from the most bottom-level community leaders we met and talked to the governors at the very top. It was an extraordinary, what we call all of government, all of society approach that many of you are feeling because you live here and you operate in this, but it is rare to see that.
A phenomenal collective action and cooperation by the people of China to this response. And the interesting thing is, people have commented on that and say, oh, that's easy in a society or a political system like China. It isn't. It's never easy to get the kind of passion, commitment, interest, and an individual sense of duty that it's our duty to help stop this virus. So this all comes back to that question of, is this real? Is what I described to you, you know, this extraordinary mobilization to implement fundamental public health principles and approach in the absence of a vaccine or a drugs, you know, in the presence of a respiratory disease, can this bring this down? And it can.
The WHO's recommendations are notable for two reasons. First, the WHO's conclusion in its February report that this rather unique and unprecedented public health response in China reversed the escalating cases exemplifies the fallacy of post hoc ergo propter hoc. While it was possible that a more flat curve in Wuhan could be attributed to the CCP's lockdown, it was at least equally likely that Wuhan had simply witnessed the natural course of this novel pathogen. It should have been obvious that the mere issuance of a policy unprecedented in public health history did not automatically mean it was effective, especially given the WHO's own 2019 guidance for pandemic influenza did not advise border closures, mass contact tracing, or quarantine of even exposed individuals under any circumstance. Furthermore, the WHO did not even consider other countries' economic circumstances, demographics, or even their number of COVID-19 cases, which were very few in most of the world, before telling the entire world that
you have to do this.
This conclusion by the world's foremost public health body was, at best, criminally negligent. Lockdowns are a Xi Jinping policy, and the significance of that fact cannot be overstated. The idea of locking down an entire state or country and forcibly shutting down its businesses and public places was never entertained, never discussed, and never implemented in any pandemic literature until it was done by General Secretary Xi in January 2020. Lockdowns were never tried before 2020 and never tested before 2020, even on a theoretical basis. The idea of lockdown was brought into human history on the order of General Secretary Xi. It otherwise never would have entered the collective human imagination. Anytime anyone endorses a lockdown for any length of time, even a few minutes, they are endorsing a Xi Jinping policy.
新年将至, 惟愿山河锦绣, 国泰民安, 惟愿和顺至祥, 幸福美满。 谢谢大家。
The remainder of this letter concerns how lockdowns were laundered into the world's go-to pandemic policy.